Good evening and welcome to this service where we celebrate Pauline's call to serve in this church alongside her other ministry. You all should have a copy of the order of service in front of you, which I think has everything that you need. So let's come to worship God. We meet in the name of God, creator of the universe, source of true humanity, mother and father of all. We meet in the name of Jesus, Word made flesh, Saviour of fallen humanity, lover of all. We meet in the name of the Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, midwife of new humanity, inspirer of all. Come then, eternal God, be present here, befriend us here, renew us here. We sing together. Sing to God new songs of worship.
Let us pray. We praise you, God the Creator. Through your love and power, all things came into being and continue in their life. We praise you, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Through your death and resurrection, we are reconciled to the Father and born into a new and living hope. We praise you, Holy Spirit, the giver of life. Through wind and fire, the church was born, and by your gifts, the body of Christ is built up. With the whole church on earth and in heaven, we praise you, one God, forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin. For our abuse of your creation, Lord, forgive us. For our divisions within the one body of Christ, Lord, forgive us. For our neglect of the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, forgive us. in repentance and in faith. Hear the promise of grace and the assurance of pardon. Through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." He also says, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, follow me." God, the source of every perfect gift in Jesus Christ, you have given us your life to redeem us, your word for our wisdom, your grace for our guide. Enter and possess our hearts to dwell with us always, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We meet today under the auspices of the Wessex Synod of the United Reformed Church. We meet with members of the church here at Wheatley, friends from other United Reformed Churches and ecumenical partners. All are welcome in this place. Christians share through their baptism in the ministry of Christ, and all Christians are called to be ministers of God's love. God calls some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to equip the church for the work of ministry and to build up the body of Christ. And so we come today in the name of our Lord Jesus to induct Pauline Main to serve as Minister of Word and Sacraments here in Wheatley. Pauline has been called to exercise this ministry by the decision of the church meeting and with the concurrence of the Pastoral Committee for the Northwest of the Synod. Before we come to induct Pauline, we listen for God's word.
Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 to 31. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you're not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well."
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I read Psalm 139, there are times when I find it a bit oppressive. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path. You hem me in. I'm not sure that I quite like that. But there are more difficult bits of the Bible, aren't there, than that? But there is something that is both disturbing and comforting about the fact that God knows us. Those of us who have had relationships with other people that have been close will know that feeling of someone who knows what you're going to say next. It can be quite fun at times. You can let each other finish sentences. Although in my experience, he doesn't always finish them in the way that I would. But there is something comforting that someone knows you well, understands both what you say and your silences too. But there's also something slightly scary about it. Trusting anyone else with the person that you are, with your own innermost being, is hard. And yet, here in the psalm that we've had read, we have the that idea of God knowing us through and through. And it is both a comfort, but also just a bit scary. But being known to God. Well, Pauline, you are known to God. With all those foibles, not of course that Pauline has any foibles. With all the gifts and strengths that you bring to being the person that you are, being the minister that you are. God knows you and loves you and cares for you and uses you. And you need to remember that as you enter a new phase of ministry. And although the psalm is written as quite a personal reflection, I want to say the same of a community as well as a person. That God knows Wheatley Church, knows the strengths and the weaknesses, knows the foibles, not of course that you have any either, and loves you, cares for you, uses you in your ministry. And it's in that context of a God who knows us, loves us, knows our history, knows our personality, knows who we are and what we get up to. It's in that context that we meet to share in this new phase of the life of both Pauline and Wheatley. And remembering too that it's somewhat of a new phase of life for Summertown and Marston churches too. They're going to have to get used to sharing Pauline in a different way. Not that they're getting any less of her, technically. But it will be different. There will be different pushes and pulls on her life and her ministry. But there will also be the huge positives that the Wheatley Church gives to Pauline as she works with them. And hopefully an increase in relationships between the churches in supporting and caring for one another. Whether that's on a very practical level at times, or whether it's simply that in sharing ministry, there is more call on you to be praying for each other. And believe it or not, God doesn't just care about the United Reformed Church. He actually cares about the churches you work alongside in those different places too. And so, as you work with new ecumenical partners, that whole concept of being known to God, knowing each other's strengths, being able to work together and trust each other is really so important. But that's all a bit up in the air. God loves us, cares for us, all of that. Well, yeah, okay. So what then? And I think that it's captured in what our gospel reading says. The word that stood out to me as I read that passage over and over was the word strive. Strive sounds like hard work to me. Strive sounds like putting a lot of effort in. And the question is, what are we striving for? What is it that actually gets us going? What gets us out of bed in the morning? What means that we're committed to each other within church? So often we get caught up, as so many others do, in worrying about things. And Jesus is challenging his disciples not to get too bothered about stuff. It might be, don't worry, a little bit like Corporal Jones, don't panic. But actually, most of the time, we're not panicking. We're just low-level bothered about things. And if there's anything that's far more debilitating than panic in the long run, it's that low-level worry. It eats away at us. And Jesus is telling them not to be too bothered about the everyday, because there's more to life than that. Not to get too uptight about what to wear or what to eat. Not that those aren't important. I'm glad to see you're wearing things tonight. And I'm looking for Robert, and he's not put his apron back on. He threatened to. I noted that he'd put the jacket on instead of the apron. But don't get hung up on the small stuff. What is it that we should be striving for? Well, in the version we heard, the kingdom of God. The trouble with the word kingdom is it does make it sound a bit sort of solid. We've got the United Kingdom. We know where the borders are. They're obvious, aren't they? They're mostly sea. But a kingdom is so often something with definite borders. And that doesn't quite hack it when it comes to God's kingdom. Perhaps a better translation is the rule of God. It's the same concept, but it's a bit less concrete. The rule of God is something where we let God be in charge. Or we recognise that God is already in charge. What does it look like? Well, the rule of God in an individual's life is such that they follow the example of Jesus. That they're filled with God's Spirit. That the fruit of the Spirit is obvious in their lives. The rule of God in a church? Well, it's quite similar really, isn't it? That we see within the life of a church, God at work. A church that cares about following Jesus and about their relationships with each other and with the world. Again, that fruit of the Spirit showing in our corporate life as well as in our individual lives. But perhaps more difficult at times is to spot where God's rule is already there, around us, beyond the walls of the church. But God's kingdom is, in that strange way, both here and now, but also still to come. We need to strive for that rule of God in all that we do, in our relationships within the church and with each other, our relationships between minister and members of church, to be seen, to be following that example of Jesus. But never forget that the rule of God is wider than that. We see God at work outside the walls of the church. And catching a glimpse of that rule of God around us is something that the church is called to do. Remember again what Jesus said, that people will say, oh, the kingdom's coming, the kingdom's there, the kingdom's here. And Jesus saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is among you. So tonight, as we celebrate a new phase of the life of Wheatley and of Pauline's ministry, let's rejoice in being known to God. And let's not simply hold that here in this place, but take it out into the world. Don't keep striving for what the world cares about. Don't keep worrying. Yes, we live in uncertain times. Yes, if we want to, there are plenty of things to worry about. But we're called to look for that rule of God, to strive, to work hard for that kingdom. And if we do that, it's promised to us that God will look after us. God will look after Pauline with the challenges that she faces at this time. God will look after Wheatley Church not to mention Summertown and Marston United Reformed Churches, and our friends and neighbours around us, our ecumenical partners. But God wants us to look beyond and let him do the worrying. Amen.
Along with all the Oxford area of United Reformed Churches, Wheatley is under the oversight of the Wessex Synod North West Area Pastoral Committee. Some 12 months ago, it became apparent to the committee that the whole area was coming to a time of transition. Tanya Rasmussen would be closing her ministry here at Wheatley. Ulrika Bell at Aston Tyrold. And in due course, Dick Wolfe would retire from Collingwood Road and Temple Cowley. Not known to us then was the coming resignation of Carla Grosch-Miller from St Columba's and Cumnor. So it seemed to us that while there was an opportunity for those churches to share in a discussion about future ministry, there was a particular interim affecting Wheatley, which until the end of 2017 might be served by the appointment of an interim minister for a given term. Reverend Pauline Main came to mind as a candidate for such a post, and the elders of Wheatley warmly received the suggestion in principle, as also an introduction to Pauline herself. From the beginning, the group appointed by Wheatley and Pauline found a great deal of common ground. Both enjoyed an ecumenical setting and a strong sense of call to be the church in community. Pauline brought pastoral sensitivity, rich ministerial experience, instant approachability, and Christian wisdom. Her leadership of worship was stimulating and much enjoyed, and the decision to invite her was unanimous. We are now gathered to affirm that joining of minister and congregation with the confidence that we have all the time been led to this point and to look upon this future by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we rejoice. They want to welcome you. We all do.
So I invite Pauline to say something about what's brought her to this moment in time.
Well, can I first of all say it's very good indeed to be here with you all at this service. Thank you so much for coming. Friends here from Marston and Summertown and our wider URC, as well as Wheatley folk and my colleague Andrew Foran from Bullingdon. A good mix of people, and a lot of what I was going to say has already been said by my colleagues, so perhaps I'll sit down now. But it's quite a privilege to have yet another induction service while I'm not moving on. It's actually my third now in this area. And at my induction in Marston, I commented that, in a sense, I am moving on. Not moving from the area, but as Claire has said, moving into a new phase of ministry. And whilst this is, at Wheatley here, is an interim appointment, it's an opportunity to get to know new people, a different context, to learn and to grow, hopefully for all of us. And I hope to share to an extent, as far as is possible, across our three churches. And to make some links between this service and my inductions at Summertown and Marston, anyone with very long memories will realise that two of the hymns, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, and Lord of the Years, featured in the other services. It's a good excuse, these services, to have some favourite hymns. And we hold in our hearts also and our memories those who played a part in those earlier services and who are no longer with us. My husband, David Main. Tom Conacher from Marston. Don Moss from Summertown. And Gerald Collett from Wolvercote Baptist Church. I may not be moving on, but as has been said, a number of my colleagues have moved on in different ways, giving us an opportunity in our Oxford churches to look at the big picture. And for myself, since David's death, I found a bit more space in life, at least some of the time. Though I hope the last fortnight was not an indication of how it's going to be. Nothing to do with Wheatley, it was just how life was. But so I was open to the idea of interim ministry when it was suggested. And so, under Duncan's helpful guidance, Wheatley URC and myself began a process, first of all of looking at profiles, then of a conversation and exploration to see if there was a fit. And as Duncan has said, we found a lot of common ground in our approaches to worship and the scriptures, in a commitment to working ecumenically and in trying to build up relationships, in a commitment to the local community and to teamwork within the congregation rather than the minister doing everything. That's a relief. Those who know me will understand I didn't feel that I could contribute very much to the strong musical life of this congregation. though willing to accept the contributions of others. But at least I'd be able to make use of the audiovisual facilities. And so we decided to move forward in faith. And I'm looking forward very much to this new challenge. The village context will be different from Summertown and Marston. But Wheatley is obviously a place with its own special identity. And I did enjoy last month coming to the St George's Day celebrations and was amazed by what a popular event that was and how it brought people together here in the community. I'm beginning to find my way around the one-way system, though I've not yet managed to locate Asda. I used to know where it was. I'll generally only be able to lead worship here for one Sunday a month, but there are many other opportunities to meet in worship and in fellowship and to get to know people better and to be involved in the wider life of the village as far as time allows. And as was said, Marston and Summertown both enjoy good ecumenical relationships in their area. And working with the two churches, I've been interested to see the differences. And Wheatley again will have, I'm sure, a different flavour. During my earlier working life, before going into ministry, I generally had a role which involved wearing a number of hats and working with different organisations and groups. So it's something that I'm well used to. The folk from Summertown and Marston have got to know each other better through attending each other's events and one or two joint activities. And Wheatley folk may like to share in at least some of this. I find that working in different contexts, as I've been doing with two churches and also at Bullingdon Prison, all of these things feed into one another. We can pray for one another, as the moderator has said. We can occasionally support each other practically. Summertown and Marston, and I know Wheatley, are interested in the prison work, so there's opportunity to offer prayer for that and to speak about that work and share concerns. It's good to support each other. So thank you to Wheatley for calling me as your interim minister. And thank you to Summertown and to Marston for your friendship and support over these past years. And for your reaffirmation of my ministry with you. At least I'm hoping you'll do that when we get to that bit in the service. I'm looking forward to serving in these three churches and hopefully forging some closer links, but also honouring each church's individual life and identity and context. And I pray that God may be with us all.
And having heard something of the call from both the Pastoral Committee and from Pauline, I now invite Robert to come and say something about the church's take on what's happened and where we're at.
Oops. Sorry.
It will be apparent that there has been no collaboration between Duncan, Pauline and myself. There's a little bit of overlap, but never mind. So, last July, Tanya said farewell and literally sailed away across the sea, back to her motherland. Those of us who've been at Wheatley for a few years took a deep breath and said to ourselves, we've been here before, we know what this feels like. And we resolved, along with the whole congregation, that we would honour Tanya's legacy, but we would move forward in our journey, wherever that may lead. In August, Claire came to lead worship and meet with the elders. It was a really good meeting, at which a number of possibilities were aired. One being interim ministry, especially, as has already been mentioned, in view of the uncertainty of the future of ministry in the Oxford area of the United Reformed Church. One thing became apparent. Pauline was working on a 50% scoping and, notwithstanding her commitment to Bullingdon Prison, had some slack time. I use that a wee bit loosely. After some discussion at the pastoral committee, Duncan Wilson, who had become our interim moderator, had a meeting with Pauline. She was clearly happy to explore the idea of becoming interim minister here. We exchanged profiles, and in February fixed a meeting between Pauline and a small vacancy team from Wheatley. There was a clear meeting of minds. So we arranged for Pauline to visit after worship on March the 13th. We had a food share lunch, at which she managed to talk, I think, to everyone present. It's one of our specialities, eating and drinking together, so it seemed quite a suitable arrangement, actually. One of the comments made to me following this lunch was on the lines, "What are we waiting for? She's just one of us." And that summed up how the whole event seemed to go. On Sunday the 17th of April, Pauline came to preach with a view to becoming our interim minister. After coffee, we came back into church for a short period when Pauline spoke to the congregation and answered some questions. She left, and we convened a special church meeting. After some brief discussion, we handed out blank voting slips, all of which returned with a tick on them. A unanimous invitation to serve as our interim minister. Terms of settlement have since been agreed, and here we are. Thanks be to God.
And so the privilege of taking us through the reminder of our nature, faith and order of the United Reformed Church falls to me as convener of the Northwest Area Synod Pastoral Committee. And it's a great joy to be here, my first induction since I have taken on the role again as convener. So if you'd like to find it in your service sheet, and normal practice, I'll read the light type and we'll all read the bold type together. With the whole Christian Church, the United Reformed Church believes in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The living God, the only God, ever to be praised. The life of faith to which we are called is the Spirit's gift, continually received through the Word, the sacraments, and our Christian life together.
We acknowledge the gift and answer the call, giving thanks for the means of grace.
The highest authority for what we believe and do is God's Word in the Bible, alive for his people today through the help of the Spirit.
We respond to this word, whose servants we are, with all God's people through the years.
We accept with thanksgiving to God the witness to the Catholic faith in the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. We acknowledge the declarations made in our own tradition by Congregationalists, Presbyterians, and the Churches of Christ, in which they stated the faith and sought to make its implications clear. Faith alive and active, gift of an eternal source, renewed for every generation. We conduct our life together according to the basis of union, in which we give expression to our faith, in forms which we believe contain the essential elements of the Church's life, both Catholic and Reformed. But we affirm our right and readiness, if the need arises, to change the basis of union, and to make new statements of faith in ever new obedience to the living Christ. Our crucified and risen Lord, who leads us in our faith and brings it to perfection, hold together in the body of Christ through freedom of the Spirit. We rejoice in the diversity of the Spirit's gifts and uphold the rights of personal conviction. For the sake of faith and fellowship, it shall be for the Church to decide when differences of conviction hurt our unity and peace.
We commit ourselves to speak the truth in love and grow together in the peace of Christ.
We believe that Christ gives his Church a government distinct from the government of the state. In things that affect obedience to God, the Church is not subordinate to the state, but must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, its only ruler and head. Civil authorities are called to serve God's will of justice and peace for all humankind, and to respect the rights of conscience and belief.
While we ourselves are servants in the world, as citizens of God's eternal kingdom,
we affirm our intention to go on praying and working with all our fellow Christians for the visible unity of the Church in the way Christ chooses, so that people and nations may be led to love and serve God and praise Him more and more forever.
Source, guide, and goal of all that is,
to God be eternal glory. Amen.
I'd invite Pauline to come and join me here. And at this point, various promises are made. First of all, Pauline's asked to affirm her faith and make promises about her ministry. But then you too, as members of the local church and the wider church, are asked too to affirm your faith and make promises to her. Pauline, do you confess anew your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you believe that the Word of God in the Old and New Testaments, discerned under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is the supreme authority for faith and conduct of all God's people?
I do.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ, who was born of Mary, lived our common life on earth, who died upon the cross and who was raised from the dead and reigns forevermore, is the gift of God's very self to the world? Do you believe that through him, God's love, justice and mercy are revealed, and forgiveness, reconciliation and eternal life are offered to all people? And will you faithfully proclaim this gospel?
By the grace of God, this I believe, and this I will proclaim.
Do you believe that the church is the people gathered by God's love to proclaim the reconciliation of the world to God through Jesus Christ?
I do.
Our zeal for the glory of God, love for the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to the Holy Spirit and a desire for the salvation of the world, so far as you know your own heart, the chief motives which lead you to enter this ministry.
They are.
Do you promise to live a holy life and to maintain the truth of the gospel whatever trouble or persecution may arise?
Relying on the strength of Christ, I do.
Do you promise to fulfil the duties of your charge faithfully, to lead the church in worship, to preach the word and administer the sacraments, to exercise pastoral care and oversight, to take your part in the councils of the church, and to give leadership to the church in its mission to the world?
By the grace of God, I do.
Do you promise, as a minister of the United Reformed Church, to seek its well-being, purity and peace, and to cherish love towards all other churches, and to endeavour to build up the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church?
By the grace of God, I do.
Will you undertake to exercise your ministry in accordance with the statement concerning the nature, faith and order of the United Reformed Church?
I will. And all these things I profess and promise in the power of the Holy Spirit.
And now I'd ask you as a congregation to stand as you're able. And first of all, there are promises, affirmations for the whole congregation and then to particular parts of the congregation. Do you confess again your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
We do.
Do you receive Pauline as from God, as a minister of word and sacraments, to serve among you and lead you in your ministry?
We do.
Will you pray for Pauline in this ministry, giving her support and encouragement?
We will.
And members of the Wheatley URC, do you receive Pauline as from God to minister among you?
We do.
And then for members of Marston and Summertown, do you reaffirm Pauline's ministry amongst you at Summertown and Marston United Reformed Churches and affirm your support for her interim ministry at Wheatley?
We do.
and those who are here representing the Synod. Do you accept Pauline in continued membership of the Synod and promise to support her ministry?
We do.
We sing again. Let us pray. God of every perfect gift, we praise you that in every age you call your people to show forth your acts of mercy and love. We give you thanks that you have called your servant Pauline to serve you as a minister in your church, in succession to the apostles, and in company with all those who follow in Christ's way. Renew the gift of your Holy Spirit on your servant Pauline, as in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we induct her to serve as interim minister at Wheatley. Gracious God, dwell with Pauline and strengthen the gifts you have given her, that the ministry and mission of your people may bear fruit. Inspire her in leading worship, in preaching, teaching, and service. May the gospel be celebrated when she presides at the sacraments. Bless her with love and humility to tend your flock, to feed the hungry, heal the wounded, and find the lost. Give her power and patience to witness with all Christians to your way and to labour with all people of goodwill for justice and mercy in society. Watch over her in times of trial, in weariness, disappointment or frustration, and keep her from complacency or spiritual pride. Fill her home with your peace, and give to your peace to those others she ministers to within Bullingdon and Marston and Summertown. Give grace to the people of this church and her other ministries, that they may accept the service God offers them through Pauline, and may they work together for the glory of your name. And may the good work that you have begun today be brought to completion in Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you, Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Amen. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and representing the Wessex Synod of the United Reformed Church, I declare Pauline to be inducted to the interim ministry at Wheatley. Now to the one who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. It's part of our tradition that we always give a welcome to a new minister, not only on behalf of the local church, but also churches together and the wider synod. So at this point, I'd invite Pauline to come forward again and for others to come and greet her. And if you do want to say anything, then I just invite you to use the microphone. So first of all, on behalf of Wheatley United Reformed Church, the Reverend Dr. Colin Thompson.
Welcome, Pauline. They're a good flock. They don't go astray very often, and not for very long.
They eat well.
They certainly do. Welcome. Okay.
And on behalf of the Wheatley Local Ecumenical Partnership, the Reverend Nigel Hawkes.
Pauline, welcome to this community of worshipping, serving and praying people and churches working together in ecumenical partnership.
Thank you. I look forward to working with you.
Welcome.
And then on behalf of the Wheatley Area Churches, Mrs. Edna Aykroyd.
On behalf of Wheatley Area Churches, I would like to welcome you to our group. Thank you. I hope you'll be very happy here.
Thank you very much.
I am not sure whether there is anybody here representing churches together in Oxfordshire. Does anybody admit to that? I'm sure that they welcome you.
I'm sure they do.
It's just that they're not here to do it in person. Then Tony, on behalf of the Pastoral Committee.
Welcome, Pauline, to the North West area. You're hardly new, but welcome to this new charge, and I look forward to working with you and supporting you in this important
Thank
work.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
Welcome.
And on behalf of the Synod, Pauline, welcome again, whatever it is. But it's the joy to have you working amongst us and to take on this particular ministry at this time. And we're all delighted that it has worked in this way and that you're able to offer that. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've got a present. Don't sit down yet, Pauline.
They will come out of the jug, and if you take the jug away, somebody might want to come and get it back. Do take the flowers.
Oh, thank you.
In some ways, a service of induction is rather inwardly focused to the church, but we remember too that we belong to a wider world, and so we pray for the church and for the world.
God is intimate with our lives, and indeed the life of the whole of the world. Therefore, let us begin our prayers in quietness, bringing to God, who listens always, the thoughts that weigh upon our hearts and our minds and our awareness. Sometimes heavy thoughts. In the quietness, let us share these with a God who only waits to respond to us. Let us open our hearts in prayer. Dear God, will you gather together these our thoughts, sometimes so difficult to express? Hear us and answer us, we pray. St. Paul says in his letter to Romans that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let us pray for the healing of the world. Dear Lord Jesus, your healing gifts are never withheld from anyone who comes to you. All are welcome at your table, none are turned from your door. Your love is not put off by any of the boundaries that we human beings tend to erect. Reputation, appearance, past faults or failures. You see what rests in our souls and what weighs upon our minds. You know the thoughts of our hearts and the sincerity of our intentions. Then help us, we pray, to reach out into a world where hard lines are drawn between nations, races, and religions, so that millions suffer, deprived of homeland, separated from family, prisoners of poverty and disease. They are waiting for your touch. They yearn for life. They look to us. Bring to life in us both generous love and creative actions to meet you in these, our brothers and sisters. Help us to show and share our true humanity. And give to your church and minister here, at the beginning of a new chapter in their lives, a vision that is broad, a love that is all-encompassing, and a desire to reach and welcome others which is open and free. May the prayers we make each day mark the stirring of your spirit within us and our readiness to respond with hope and healing, and always in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Love is stronger than death. Victory is ours through him who loved us. And so may the God of goodness, light, and love, seen in Jesus, with us through his Spirit, be with us all now and evermore. Amen. Amen.